Kearney, the front line for Harvard for the Quakers now. It's Gary Fryer just out of the box, along with Tom Whitehead, Tim Stroman, and Jeff Roslin on the toss. Controlled by Cook, gets it back to Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes circles to his right. Eric Thiessel on the boards. To his brother George Hughes. Hughes back out to Jack Hughes. Now George Hughes sends it behind the net, played by Steve Kearney on the left side. After the point to Cochran. Cochran goes across to the right point to Jack Hughes. He feeds George Hughes back to Jack. Cross left point to Cochran. Down low left side to Kearney. Back outside to Jack Hughes for a shot from the right point. There's a great save and amazing skip by Sutton. It comes out to Cochran. He keeps it in. Now Jack Hughes is swinging into the boards by Fryer. A shot by Cochran goes wide, and Whitehead ties it up behind the net, with rather Roslin ties it up behind the net along with Brian Cook.
Harvard definitely moves the puck very well out there. They control the puck and move it to the open man for the shot.
Steve, I noticed that Harvard's power play, they put Gene Hurdy inside the slot. Strong, who was forced to try to move him out. The Quakers oftentimes on their power play seem not to have a man in the slot at all. They pass it around their periphery.
Right, the object is you form a box, and nobody is supposed to enter that box, but one of that, either the wing or the defenseman's got to move with him.
All right, the new line for Harvard, Bob McDonald, Randy Millen, and Phil Evans. Quakers go with the same four, killing the penalty. They've got Rosler, Whitehead, Stroman, and Fryer on the draw. Stroman has it behind his own net, feeds Whitehead along the near boards. Whitehead looks to clear it out and does. It's loose at center ice. Chasing after is Gary Fryer. 27 seconds remaining in the power play advantage as the Quakers control it in the Harvard end of the ice. Now it's played by Scalamandre up to center ice. Quakers look to send it right back in. They do. Fryer on the right side holds up the blue line. Gary looks to kill some time. Cannot feed Strawman. Loose on the left side. It's Bill Evans. He looks to go in, reading too far for a shot. Winds it around the boards, but McDonald couldn't get the stick down. Comes all the way out to the point to Scalamandre. Scalamandre sends one in from the right point. Loose in front. The rebound shot by Millen is a great save by Sutton. And Fryer comes up with a loose puck along the sideboards. Now Whitehead will look to freeze it. Harvard not mixing it up, so the Quakers must advance the puck, otherwise they'll be called for delay of game. Now Whitehead breaks away from the pack, carries into the corner, looks to turn up ice. His shot is knocked down at the point by O'Donoghue. It was shot by O'Donoghue, stick over the net by Sutton. Now it's loose behind the net, and they'll tie it up for a faceoff.
Bob Sutton picking up right where he left off again. Yeah, making two great saves against, one against Nolan, the other against O'Donoghue. Got a blistering shot from the left point. Bob Sutton there both times. Right now, faceoff will be deep in the left wing corner in the Quaker end.
Both teams now at even strength as the Quakers have successfully killed the penalty. Quaker front line, William Porter, Gary Fryer, and, Tom Cody, Gary Fryer, and Dave Acree on the draw. It's controlled by Scalamandre at the right point. Sends it into the corner. It's played behind the net by Cochran. Cannot feed in front. Comes back out to Scalamandre. Shot to the right point of the draw. Scalamandre could have been a deflection in front, Lance.
I think Evans got a piece of that goal. He's back off the referee. Let's see how it goes. Evans buckles for the goal. Andre with the left, but I don't think he's going to get it to him.
And they're going to rule that player who tripped the puck. Well, let's see what happened. They were in the rule that the player that tipped the puck was in front of the net. So Harvard had a man in the crease ahead of the puck, and that will be no goal. Quakers got a break there, Steve.
Yes, they did. Harvard uses the point very well. They placed the man in front of the net for the screen on the tip, and he happened to be in the crease.
Okay, the faceoff will be outside the plate. The blue line, the Quakers getting a very big break there. You don't want to fall against the team with the caliber of Harvard.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Class of 23 rank. After the hockey game is over, we will have the Penn-Dartmouth basketball game on delayed tape at about 10 o'clock. On the draw, I send it to the Pennsylvania end. Carter feeds Weisenthaler at center ice. He backhands it behind the Harvard net, left there by Lyons. Lyons leaves it for Jim Trainer. Trainer winds around the boards ahead to Cochran. Cochran at center ice, played by Ricky Benson. Benson cannot get past the Quaker defense. And now it'll be up to Jim Liston to carry it. He does, circles to his right, looks to feed in front. It's headed for Dave, but the Quakers carry right out. Now it's played at the defense by Jim Liston. Goes cross ice to Jim Trainer. Trainer back to Liston. He's forechecked by Dudson. Quaker said two men in. Weisenthaler looks to take it away. Cannot, and stumped out to center ice. Played there by Mark Odette. Odette spins and shoots it right back into the Harvard end. Played by Liston. Goes cross ice. The Trainer back to Liston. Now it's loose at center ice. Played by Ricky Benson. Benson will feed Murray Day on the left wing. He's ridden off the play by Mark Odette. It comes into the corner and they tie it up for a faceoff. Steve?
Well, center's going to have to pick up the pace here. They're starting to get outskated already. The first line came out and moved all over their defense and the corners and everything. They got to keep this up in order to stay alive.
Quaker's doing a good job killing the first power play opportunity for Harvard thus far tonight. That's a good signal thing.
Yeah, both teams going with three lines. Harvard has not played a game in 2 weeks. They could be tired when the late going, especially if they stay using only three lines. On the faceoff, Dave Taylor cannot clear for Pennsylvania as Jack Hughes keeps it in. Now Stroman chases it down behind the net, spins away from the forechecking Bob McDonald, and that will hold up behind his net. Stroman feeds ball back to Stroman in front of the cage, looks the circle right back behind his own net. Good forechecking by number 17 of Harvard. That's John Barron. And now the Quakers will break it out on the right side. Ball gets it across the red line to Whitehead. He stood up at the blue line by Scalamandre. And now it comes out to Stroman. Looks to go cross ice. And it's intercepted by Steve Andrews. Picks it all along. Caught from behind. And now Rosalier will control for Pennsylvania. To Whitehead across the red line. Set right back by Harvard's number 15, Brian Cook. Cook finds Garrity. His shot goes over the cage. It's loose on the right side. Played by Whitehead. And he clears to center ice. It's going to roll all the way down. The Harvard end looks like an icing is going to be called, and they rule it off, ruling that the defender Jack Hughes could have gotten to the puck before it crossed the line. Now Hughes clears the center ice. Cook cannot play it there. It's loose, played by Rosler at his own blue line for Pennsylvania. Feeds Cullity at the red line. Cullity across the blue line, cuts in on the left side. Cullity's shot is a save by John Hines, and he holds on for the faceoff.
As you mentioned, Stan, Harvard had to go into three lines. Right there we saw their fourth line.
It was Steve Andrews, Ryan Cook, and the third man on the line, John Garrity.
And so Harvard perhaps sensing that they are out of condition, as mentioned, haven't played in 2 weeks, will be going probably with four lines this evening.
Actually, I think what upset their rhythm was the power play situation. And so they mixed up their lines. Quakers have the man advantage. There's a Harvard man on the box. I did not see the penalty, but it's on Gene Kearney of Harvard. And so the Quakers will be up 5-4 on the draw. Cody gets it back to Rosler. He feeds with down the sideline to Burke. Burke goes back out left point. Rosler, right point. It's headed for Rosetto. Holds it away from Hughes. Now he'll split the set up. Goes across to Rosler. Takes the shot from left point. Comes right for shot on goal. It's knocked down by Cody. Loose in front of shot. It's a save by Hines. Cody cannot get the stick down. That's Scalamandre clears out the point. Rosler keeps it. Cross side. Rosetto. Shot goes over the game. It's loose behind the net. And that's
All right,
we've got 1:32 remaining in the man advantage. Quaker's going with the lineup of Burke, Cullity. I cannot see the number on the third man on the line. They've got Rosler and Odette at the points. It's Tommy Whitehead on right wing on the draw. Rosler will carry into zone. Leaves it for Burke at the left point. Goes cross right point. Odette back to Burke on the left side. Burke fakes the shot. Feeds Rosler along the left sideline. He'll carry in. Puts the put in front. Great feed for Pryor. Could not get the stick down. And it's loose in front. Comes to Rosler at the left point. Feeds Pryor along the sideline. Pryor feeds Odette down low. Now it comes back outside. Shot by Rosler. It was knocked aside. Played by Burke. Burke went into the boards by Scalamandre. One of the fans along the sideline calling for a penalty comes out to Rosler. Shot for left corner. The right save by Hines. And Harvard clears all the way down the ice. 53 seconds to go. Several good chances there by the Quakers as Odette chases it down in his own end. Harvard making changes on the fly. Rosler across the blue line. Rosler across the red line. Feeds Burke across the other blue line. Looks to leave it for Whitehead. Rather Pryor, but he's ridden off the play. And Cochran carries out for Harvard. He'll go down. Turned away by Odette. Now he'll look to kill some time. Feeds it back to the point to Jim Traynor. Traynor goes cross ice to Jim Liston. 27 seconds remaining in the man advantage. As Sutton leaves it behind the net. Cochran forechecking for Harvard. Tries to catch Whitehead from behind, but cannot. Cullity loses it now at center ice. It's played by Jim Traynor in his own end. 15 seconds remaining in the man advantage. As now George Hughes cuts behind his own net. Played at center ice by Murray Dean. He loses it to Odette. Now Pryor comes up with it. 4 seconds to go in the man advantage. Teams it even straight. This ball carries in. Leaves it for Whitehead. Whitehead races with Liston. Neither one will come up with the puck. Now it rolls between them and they'll tie it up for a pace shot.
Okay, that's just a penalty against Gene Kearney. By the way, that was a thrashing penalty. Right there, we saw John Hines, the goalie for the Harvard Princeton, robbing Tom Cody, his 15th goal of the year. Cody taking a shot, slap shot from about 25 feet out on the left side, and Hines seems to have his body moving in the wrong direction. He's able to make a beautiful leg save. Quakers unable to score, and scoring means that nothing.
Okay, both teams at even strength. 10:42 remaining in the first period. We're tied at no score on the draw. It's played by Randy Millen of Harvard. Leaves it behind the net for Zach Hughes. Hughes will carry out ahead to Millen. Millen center ice to Bob McDonald. McDonald across the red line. Cuts into the Quaker end, but ahead of the play and offside is Phil Evans' left wing. They will face it off outside the Quaker blue line.
Okay, Steve, this line of Millen, McDonald, and Evans seems to be a really good skating line for Harvard. They've been skating wide open hockey, creating a lot of opportunities for the Crimson.
Yes, they do. They have two good forwards on the outside wings that really fly down the boards.
Our guest commentator is, of course, injured Quaker defenseman, freshman defenseman Steve Shanley. On the play, Sutton makes the save, covers up. We'll have a faceoff coming up to the right of Bobby Sutton. Steve, perhaps you'd like to tell our listeners how you got your injury, the circumstances surrounding that game at Ohio State with an official who maybe should have been officiating, et cetera, et cetera.
The game kind of got out of hand. It was a brutal hockey game. I happened to just receive a shot in the leg where a blind shot didn't have the puck and just busted my leg.
All right, Steve, how's the leg coming along?
It's coming along pretty good. I've been skating on it for the last few days, and it seems pretty good.
All right. On the draw, it's played by Graykin, sends behind the net, intended for Odette, could not find it, comes back to Graykin on the left side, feeds Dudzik along the boards. He's tied up by a couple of Harvard defenders in there to stop the play is Bob McDonald. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a face-off coming up to the right of goaltender Bob Sutton.
Okay, the face-off will be deep in the right wing corner. Taking the face-off for Harvard will be number 21. That's Bob McDonald, and for the Quakers will be number 7, Doug Burke.
McDonald, one of the few freshmen in the lineup for Harvard. He's 5'11", 150 pounds, and he hails from Winthrop, Massachusetts. On the draw, controlled by the Quakers. Raken feeds Avery along the far boards, and pass intended for Burke at center ice. He was picked off by one of the Harvard players. Now he gets the back of the blue line, across the red line, across the Harvard blue line with a shot that is stopped easily by John Hines, but ahead of the play and offside for the Quakers with Jay Weisenthaler. So we'll have a face-off coming up outside the Harvard blue line.
Quakers had a 3-on-2 there. Odette failed to get the puck across, and the corner went across the blue line.
Quaker front line, Dudzik, Weisenthaler, and Doug Burke. Now Burke gets it back off the draw to Graykin, and he'll shoot it down. It'll come behind the Harvard net left there. Burke races with John Dunderdale of Harvard. Now it's loose along the near sideline and carrying out for Harvard's Bob McDonald. McDonald passes left wing to Phil Evans. Evans beaten to the puck by Odette. It cuts behind his own net. Looks to come up ice. He'll spin away from the forechecking Randy Millen. Cut back behind the net. Feeds it along the boards to Weisenthaler, who is level. And they're going to call an elbowing penalty on Phil Evans. A stupid penalty. Because Jay had already gotten rid of the puck, Steve. That's not the kind of penalty you want to take, but the Quakers will take it. It'll give them a man advantage.
That's right. It's a stupid penalty. He came up there with full arms extended right to his face.
Okay, I'll remind our listeners, you're listening to this game on WXPN in Philadelphia and WQHF on the Penn campus.
Following the hockey game, we will have the Pennsylvania Dartmouth basketball game. That game will be coming up on tape at about 10 o'clock. Quakers with their second power play opportunity tonight, 9:23 remaining in the first period. We are tied at no score. Rosler goes cross-ice, no get in his own zone. Now he feeds Cullity at center ice. Cullity across the Harvard blue line, leaves it for Avery. Now Avery loses it, taken off his stick by Gene Purdy. Now it's loose at center ice. Rosler goes cross ice, intended for Fryer, but coming up to make the play to Harvard is Kevin O'Donoghue. He loses it to Burke, sends it right back in behind the Harvard net, framed in front of the net by O'Donoghue, and he'll dump it all the way down to behind the Quaker line. No icing as the Quakers have the man advantage, but they'll set it up again. Lance O'Donoghue, the defenseman for Harvard, playing only on these power play situations. He's killed both penalties so far for Harvard. Now play in the Quaker end. It's played by Rosler behind his net. He'll look to start up ice. Feeds right hand on the near side. Right hand could not control it. It's sent right back the other way by George Hughes, and the Quakers having real trouble getting out of their zone on this power play. George Hughes now loses to Tommy Whitehead. Will start out. Whitehead across the blue line. Across the red line to Cody. Feeds Fryer on the left side. On the right side, loses it for Cody. And Burke scores! Cody with the goal for Pennsylvania. The Quakers go up by the score of 1-0. quickest have drawn first blood. Last weekend they scored four first in both their games, and they won both those games. 8-12 to go in the first period. Quickest leaders, 1-0. And the draws controlled on the Harvard end by the Harvard defense. Now they get it out. It's played by Ryan Cook, the captain. Feeds Garrity on the left wing. His shot is wide and hit the side of the net. Stayed behind the net by a ball. Ball written into the boards by a forechecking Ryan Cook. Now Steve Andrews comes over looking to tie it up, but Cook breaks away from the pack, feeds the puck in front of the net, and ball is there for Pennsylvania tonight. Now the goal is played at center ice by John Garrity. Garrity back to his own defense to Jim Trainer. Trainer will look to send it ahead, played by Blakin at the Quaker blue line. Goes puck ice to Strawman, feeds Whitehead on the right side, and it's taken away from him by Jimmy Liston. Liston for Harvard, feeds Steve Andrews, left wing now to Garrity. Garrity cuts it to the left wing. Cook has it all alone in front, but he could not get the stick down, and they are going to call a high stick on Jeff Rosler. No, let's see. It's hooking, and it's not on Jeff Rosler. It's on Sean Blakin. See, that was a sort of questionable penalty.
I don't know. A giant reached out and grabbed the Harvard defender. They were both going into the play for the puck in the corner. The ref was right on top.
All right, with 7:18 to go in the first period, the Crimson are going to have the man advantage. The Quakers have killed off one Harvard power play already tonight. Let's see who they send out once again on their power play. They've got John Cochran, a junior, 6'1", 180 out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, on their right point. On the left point, sophomore Jack Hughes, 6'1", 198 out of Somerville, Massachusetts. Their front line, Brian Cook, Gene Purdy, and George Hughes.
Ryan Cook there taking a mean still. He's wearing a mask somewhat similar to Mickey Ball's, but perhaps he's got an injured nose off to him.
Cochran finds Hughes. Now Hughes looks to get it back to Cochran, but he's tied up by Burke, and it comes out across the blue line. Harvard's going to have to regroup the center ice. Now Cochran feeds George Hughes. His shot into the zone was stopped by the skate of Ouellette. And very alertly, Doug Burke sends it all the way back down behind the Harvard net, played there by Jack Hughes. Hughes with Cochran, the points for Harvard. Now Cochran will carry out. He's met at his own blue line by Doug Burke, who takes it away from him. Looks to feed Doug, but couldn't get the stick down. And Cook comes up with it. It's the 10-man starts to chant a go stand green. As George Hughes carries in for Harvard. Now he looks to feed it in front. And Bobby Sutton grabs a loose puck and puts the loose team. Brian Cook going for that loose puck, hit Bobby in the face with the mask and the face with the stick.
Sutton was very alert there. The puck came bouncing up into his face, and the center was right on top, and he grabbed the puck and smothered it.
Gary Pryor comes out for the Quakers. Now he'll go back to the bench. Quakers trying to decide on what unit they're going to have killing the penalty. We've got 1:15 remaining in the man advantage. And they're going to call a penalty on Harvard on that series in front. Let's see. It looks like it's going to be on Brian Pitt. It is. Let's wait for them to put it up.
I didn't get a chance to see who that penalty was against, Stan. I'm a bit surprised they called it. The player is in front of the Quaker net. Normally that's the place to see the Quakers get a penalty. But now the Quakers will be able to escape four aside, and after a minute and 15 seconds, they will have the man advantage.
Well, I think they're going to put up number 15, Brian Cook, and I think they're going to call up the high-sticking Bobby Sutton in the face, but we'll have to wait to see. As the Quakers control the face-off, it's played by Pryor on the left wing, cuts across the Harvard blue line. He's blocked by two Harvard defensemen, put into the boards by Jack Hughes. But Pryor bounces right off, beats it out to the point. The Lazarus is stuck to the point. It's a great leg save by Hines. It's loose on the left side, played by Pryor, written hard into the boards by George Hughes. And now Gene Purdy comes up with a loose puck, feeds Hughes at the red line. Hughes across the Quaker blue line. He's playing at 4-4. Pass in front to Purdy, did not get the stick down. Quakers come up with a loose puck. Pryor at center ice. Quakers break out 2-on-2. Pryor looks to go by a defenseman, leaves it for Rosler. Rosler cuts in front of the net. Now he goes behind it. Hits the wrap in the front. Alert save by John Hines. He sends it in the corner. Pryor fights there with George Hughes. And then tied up for the faceoff.
John Hines making it maybe a nice hit far. Robbing Jeff Rosler on a shot from the point. A beautiful shot right towards the corner of the net. Hines stuck out the leg. It looks to be very strong down low. Richard's feet.
Rosler then looked to wrap it around the post, and again Hines came up with a big save. Hines is only a sophomore. He's 6'2", 181 pounds from Chatham, Massachusetts. 23 seconds remain in the Quaker penalty, and after that penalty expires, they will have about 50 seconds of power play advantage. Mickey Ball out there for the Quakers along with Tom Whitehead, Graham Carter, and Mark Ogette. On the draw, it's controlled by Harvard, but kept in at the point by Ogette, sends right behind the Harvard net. Played there by Franco Scalamandro. He looks to clear, but not out. Kept in by Whitehead. And now Cochran will dump it out to center ice, played by Ogette. Ogette cuts back towards his own half of the ice, feeds it cross ice to Carter. Carter flips it off the boards, knocked down by Scalamandro at the red line, and they'll call Scalamandro for a hand pass at the red line. Faceoff coming up at center ice.
Okay, Harvard just started here at 4-1 in the Ivy League. They have the best record in the Ivy League. They're currently listed in fourth place because they have not played very often. Tomorrow night, Penn goes against a very strong Dartmouth team. Dartmouth handed to Harvard their only loss of the year, beating them 5-4 in overtime. Harvard will move on to Benjamin, playing a team which they haven't lost to in over 10 years, a string of over 20 straight victories.
All right, the Quaker penalty is over. We've got a 41-second man advantage as Murray Day comes in with a weak shot that's wide. Controlled in the Quaker end by Pryor. 33 seconds left in the man advantage as Pryor starts it out across the red line. He'll shoot it in, knocked down at the defense by Liston. It comes to Roslier at his own blue line for Pennsylvania. He spins dead, back up ice, finds Ogette on right wing. Ogette holds up at the blue line. Now he jumps behind an unintended for Cullity, who's already got one goal here tonight. As Murray D plays along the left side, Cullity takes it away, looks the feet in front. Cannot, and Murray Day will clear for Harvard. It comes to Cochran at center ice at the red line. Cochran is bumped into by Ogette, and Cullity comes up with the puck, finds Doug Burke. Doug Burke sends it in a little left behind the Harvard net, played by Pryor in the right corner. And it's cleared out, played at center ice by Roslier, as both teams now are at even strength. The Harvard penalty is up. It was Brian Cook. And on the play, we've got an offside called against Pennsylvania. We'll have a faceoff coming up outside the Harvard blue line.
One thing I've noticed, Dan, watching Harvard, at least offensively, is that they do not depend on one man to do all their scoring. George Hughes is the leading scorer. But when you go down the list, you've got about 9 or 10 players that have over 10 points. They are a very balanced offensive team.
4:20 remaining in the first period on the draw. It's played behind the Harvard net by Liston. Comes in front. Taylor! Taylor! Chipping in a shot from Mickey Ball. Quakers lead it 2-0. Steve, I couldn't see whether, in fact, Dave Taylor actually took that shot by Mickey Ball or whether Ball shot went in the zone of court.
The way it happened, the Harvard defenseman picked up the puck behind the net. Mickey Ball knocked him off the puck, picked it up, and threw it towards Dave Taylor.
Taylor with his first goal of the evening. Quakers lead it 2-0. Time of the goal, 15:48. And on the faceoff, we've got a quick whistle, and we'll do it again.
We are watching a new Quaker hockey team. First, it seems like it just might be the Jekyll and Hyde effect, having one good game, one bad game, but the Quakers right now are on a tear. 3 games unbeaten, and tonight against a very strong Harvard team, they lead 2-0. That goal by Taylor, you'll get the assist on that in just a moment.
Lance, a couple of weeks ago, the Quakers played Cornell up at Lyman Rink, and they were humiliated. And I think there was a lot of soul-searching that went on after that game. They gave up 72 shots in that game, and they haven't played a bad hockey game since that night. They tied Brown 3-3, they beat Brown 4-3, and then they beat Yale 4-0 for the first Quaker shutout in years, and here they lead Harvard 2-0. On the play, it's played by Dudzik. Now he loses at the blue line to Millen. Millen feeds left wing to Evans. His shot goes over the net, rebounds right side, and Quakers will clear. Played at the defense by Jim Traynor. He cuts to his left, looks to bring it into the Quaker zone, cannot, as Evans was stood up at the blue line. It's loose at center ice. Harvard looks oddly disorganized. Quakers lead it 2-0, 3:40 remaining in the first period, as Carter sends behind the net, comes out right point to Traynor. His shot is knocked right down by Whitehead. He was spotted out. Rather, Carter feeds pushing on left wing. His shot is fine. Rebound comes out to Burke. Burke loses it along the far side. Now a couple Harvard players frees it up. And we'll have a faceoff coming up to the right of goalie John Hines.
The Quakers continuing to put on the pressure. Dan, you mentioned earlier that the Quakers were humiliated up at Cornell. I don't think you could call it a humiliation. Cornell is an awesome team. You look at the scoring stats in the Ivy League, the top four scorers are all on the big radar. Earlier this year, Cornell beat the Yale squad 13-1. They're up 9-0 after one period, had 95 shots on goal.
On the draw, it's played by Gene Purdy of Harvard. He flees it out of his own zone, goes cross-ice to George Hughes. Hughes cannot go by straw man, but Purdy will pick up the loose puck. Hughes in the corner. And we've got some action it in front, the pushing, the shoving, but Colony comes up with a loose puck and he leaves it for Strawman, who carries out. Pickerson takes it, dumped it down. It's at a Harvard end. Fryer now, forechecking, beats Jack Hughes to the puck. Fryer with the puck behind the net. Now David Akery will come over and help to freeze it up. We've got a faceoff coming up inside the Harvard zone to the left for goalie John Harris. Lakers continue to apply the pressure.
That's right, and being spurred on by a rather large crowd right now. During the course of this first period, the past 23 races filled up somewhat. I would say right now we're at a point where we have about 2,000 fans, maybe even more.
On the draw, calling the Fryer back out to the point of Rosler, back to Fryer on the left side, goes cross ice and center for Akery. Akery shot it loose in front, and Coney scores! Coney scores! He took it away from John Hines, and the Quakers lead it 3-0. Cannot believe what's going on. Hughes will cut behind his own net. Ball forechecking for Pennsylvania. Will look to try and keep him back there. Now Hughes gives it right away. It's going to win that shot. Saved by Heinze Holstein. A bad mistake by Jack Hughes. Almost resulted in another Quaker goal.
John Heinze saving Harvard's probably last chance is right there. Would have made it 4-0. A nice whisper there by Tom Whitehead. He's had an off and on and off year that caused Steve Hodge. He was hurt. I saw him play two games hurt with the ribs. And he hasn't maybe played as much as well as people might have hoped as far as
this. This is good. I'm sure he's getting 25 too. So he's looking off the shot, doing off the
Whitehead steals in the offensive zone, looks to feed Taylor in front. Now he spins away from O'Donoghue, who's out there for Harvard. It comes to Odette at the right point. Odette looks to shoot it in front, but O'Donoghue takes it away from him. Now Lucio on the board, kicked ahead by Odette to Whitehead, who was dumped by Steve Andrews, and we're going to have a penalty call. Let's see what happens. I think this is going to be boarding on Steve Andrews. And apparently that's not the call. We've got some problems with the clock. The clock is not ticking. So let's see what they're going to call.
Man, I did not see what happened.
I don't think the clock ever started. Well, that's the problem. Let's wait and see what happens as they try and straighten things out. Quakers lead it 3-0. And this last couple of minutes has been all Pennsylvania. They've taken it away from the Harvard defense the last two times. Harvard unable to break out of the zone. And I know, Steve, that's one of the things you guys work on, the most breakouts. And Harvard is showing complete interest in getting the puck out of their zone.
Yeah, this could be true. They've on their players before they can even get the puck up to their forwards. They're aggressive in the corners and they're beating it to the puck.
Jack Hughes committed to Carmel Sin there for Harvard. He cleared out from behind the net in front of the net, which is something that you never do.
Stop the ball.
All right, 2:14 remaining on the clock. We don't know if that's the official score because we think the problem here is with the clock. We've got a timeout. We'll remind you, you're listening to Barry Ashby Memorial Scholarship Fund Night at the Class of 23 rink on WXPN in Philadelphia, WQHS, on the Penn campus. And following the hockey game, we'll have Quaker basketball action. Quakers up at Hanover, New Hampshire tonight to play the Big Green as they're going to kick the clock down now. Bill Cleary is screaming on the sidelines. And let's see exactly what they're going to do. He's going to talk things over with his captain, Brian Cook. Anyway, following the hockey game, we will have the basketball game. Quakers in first place in the Ivy League. And they seem headed towards that NCAA first-round spot. That game will be played on March 12th at the Celestial. But right now, we have hockey here. We've got a minute 45 now on the clock, Lance.
Okay, while we have a break here, I'll quickly run down the scoring thus far. The Quakers lead it 3-0. The first goal coming on a goal by Tom Cullity. It was a power play goal. Assisted by Gary Fryer and Jeff Roslick. The Cullity is 15th goal of the year. That came at 11:43 in the first period. The Quakers went ahead 2-0 on a goal by Dave Taylor. Taylor getting his 10th goal of the year. Came at 15:48, assisted by Mickey Ball and Tom Whitehead. And the third goal, Tom Cullity, his second goal of the year.
Captain Mark Odette present the check to Flyers Captain Bobby Clark, representing the dollar off the price of each admission that is being contributed by the University of Pennsylvania to the Barry Ashby Memorial Collegiate Hockey Scholarship Fund. This year, in honor of the late Flyer defenseman Barry Ashby, who died of leukemia last year, the University of Pennsylvania is sponsoring this night to raise money for the Barry Ashby Scholarship Fund, which will go to help Philadelphia area high school hockey players go to college.
Okay, on the ice, as mentioned, besides Coach Bob Fink and Bobby Clark and Marco Zeno, some of the other Flyers, Paul Holmgren, Bill Barber, and Ross Lonsbury, the Quaker fans, a lot of them just came to see this type of presentation and get some autographs from the Flyers. That presentation, I imagine, will take much of the second period intermission, so I'm not sure if we can get any of these Flyers in between periods. I'm going to work on trying to get some of them for the third period for a little guest color commentary. I don't know if that's possible.
Well, it's also down on the ice is Ed Snyder, the chairman of the board, I believe, of the Flyers, whose son Jay plays on the Penn team. He's the goaltender.
Okay, Sam Lane, your assessment of that second period of play. The Quakers seem to lose momentum. Much of that, of course, was due to the fact that Harvard is playing a man advantage for much of the second period. However, the momentum has definitely swung towards the Crimson, and the Quakers are going to have to try to turn it around the other way, because three goals is not that much. As you mentioned, last year was the other way around, and the Quakers came back. It might be a little tougher for Harvard here on the away from home, except fact is, this Harvard is a very potent offensive team.
Well, Lance, one thing happened that makes it seem like it could go either way. First of all, you expect Harvard to tire because they haven't played in 2 weeks. Maybe they get tired in the third period and maybe balance the tip back to Pennsylvania. However, Quakers played virtually the last 15 minutes of that last period shorthanded, and that takes an awful lot out of you. So it may be the Quakers who end up tiring in the last period, but we'll have to wait and see. Certainly, they showed no signs of it as the second period drew to a close. Playing the best hockey they've played in years, Pennsylvania just looks like a completely different team than the team we saw earlier in the season. And, you know, it's one thing when you say, all right, they went up to Brown 2 weeks ago, and a lot of the Brown players were sick. And then Brown came in here, and they were bothered by the week of travel and with the snowstorm. And then there was Yale, and, well, things didn't go quite well for them. They didn't get the place. And then there's Harvard. Well, they didn't play for 2 weeks. Sooner or later, the excuses have to stop, and you have to turn around and recognize that the effort that the Quakers have put into turning their season around. I don't think after this game you can take anything away from them. I think you turn around and say, all right, the first half of the year they were not a good hockey club. They were a young team. They made a lot of mistakes. That's not the case now. They're playing good, fundamental, hard, aggressive hockey, and they're winning with it.
Should the Quakers win tonight, that would put their record at 3-4-2 in the Ivy League, and would set the stage for a showdown with Dartmouth tomorrow to see who is going to represent the Ivy League in the first division. The Quakers would have 8 points, assuming Dartmouth beats Princeton tonight. That would give Dartmouth 8 points, and whoever wins that game would move up into fourth place into the Ivy League, with a good possibility of moving up even farther during the rest of the season.
Lance, second game of the year, the Quakers lost to Yale here 4-3, and they have not lost to an Ivy League opponent in this building since. They tied Princeton 3-3 in a great game. They scored with 2 minutes left in that game and totally dominated the action in overtime, but could not get the win. But they really outplayed Princeton down the stretch in that game. They defeated Brown last weekend 4-3. They were ahead from the 2 minute point of the first period, and then on last Saturday they totally dominated Yale in this building. So the Quakers have played very good hockey at home, and that's pretty much the story in the Ivy League, because the teams play well at home. Cornell does not lose at all in their building, and Harvard is very tough to beat in their home arena, the Watson Rink. And for that matter, Princeton plays competitive hockey in their building, Baker Rink, and the Quakers will travel up to Baker Rink in about 2 weeks to play the second game of their season series with Princeton. We are between the second and the third period here at the Class of 23 Rink. Quakers lead it by the score of 3-0. After this game at about 10 o'clock, we'll be switching to a tape Well, I guess it's going to be past 10 o'clock since it's 9:30 already, but at about 10:15, we'll be switching to action from Hanover, New Hampshire, tonight's basketball game between the first-place University of Pennsylvania Quakers and the much-improved Big Green of Dartmouth. I'm not going to tell you the score because I want you to listen to the game, but it was a very interesting basketball game up there, and that game will be on following this one on WXPN and Philadelphia WQHS on the Penn campus.
Okay, as we ran down the Ivy League standings, now turning to the ECAC, it's a little bit of a different story. The team in the ECAC is Boston University, 20-0-0 overall, 16-0 in the ECAC. They lead all teams by five game margin. Next comes Cornell, and throwing down the line, Boston College, Clarkson, Brown, New Hampshire. Finally, you hit Harvard, who is seventh in the ECAC. Eighth is RPI. Now, if Harvard loses this game, they will drop to 9-7 in the ECAC. RPI is at 6-7, so assuming RPI wins those games, which Harvard has at hand, then you're in a tie situation for the eighth spot. Northeastern, which is a very tough club, could move up, and Harvard is going to be out here in the third period trying to win this game because they don't want that kind of pressure.
Lance, the statistic I think that's most impressive in ECAC Division I has got to be the scoring of Cornell. They started off a little bit slow, but since about 2 months ago, they have been scoring an unbelievable clip. They ran a couple of games where they were averaging close to 10 goals a game, including an 11-2 showing of the Penn Quakers up in Lina Rink about 3 weeks ago. They have several players in the top, among the top in scoring in Division One, led by Lance Netherly with 62 points on 19 goals and 43 assists. And also in the number three position, Curling has 19 goals and 22 goals and 24 assists for 46 points. That's Roy Curling of Cornell. They've also got the number three scorer in Dave Ambrosia. I guess that's an Ivy League play. He's got 4 goals and 13 assists in Ivy play for 17 points. And the number four scorer in Ivy play, Brock Treadway. Treadway with 11 goals and 5 assists in Ivy play for 16 points.
Okay, standing to take all that offense, and you put on top of that the leading goaler in the ECAC, and Napier, he has a 2.37 goals against average, just about one goal per game, better than any other goalie, and they have a potent offensive team like that, and such a strong goalie, he's got a team that's almost unbeatable.
Lance, let's run down the upcoming games here. While you try and scout up some players for us, I'll run down the schedule. Coming up this month in February, tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock, it'll be the Big Green of Dartmouth invading the class of 23 rink. Earlier in the season, Dartmouth trounced the Quakers up at Hanover, but it's been a different story with Quaker action since then. Then next Saturday, February 25th at 2 o'clock, it'll be, next Friday night, February 24th at 7:30, it'll be St. Lawrence. The Larrys are playing good hockey, a much improved team over last year, and they'll be coming in at 7:30 p.m. And then Saturday afternoon, February 25th at 2 o'clock, it'll be the Golden Knights of Clemson. Clemson, a top team in Division One the last few years. 2 years ago, they played an incredible game here, beating the losing to the Quakers 12-10. They'll be in next Saturday at 2 o'clock, WQHS airtime 1:55. And then on Saturday, March 4th, Cornell will be in the building at 7:30 p.m. to take on the Quakers, and that game, we will have report signs during the basketball broadcast that night. Coming up in basketball tonight, we've got the delayed tape of the Dartmouth basketball game coming along at, that will be coming along just after the game, and then at, and then tomorrow night at 7:30, 7:15 airtime on WXPN live from the squad weight room in the athletic building at Harvard University. It'll be Harvard, Pennsylvania basketball as the Quakers look to continue their march to the NCAA. It's next week's game, a home game on the 24th against Brown at the Telestra. That game airtime 7:45, game time 8 o'clock. And then on Saturday night, it will be Yale at 7 o'clock, airtime 6:45, to be followed by a Big Five matchup. The matchup next Saturday night, the Big Five matchup on the 25th, will pit Villanova against St. Joe's. Of interest to Quaker basketball fans, tomorrow night at the Palestra at 8 o'clock, Villanova will play LaSalle in a game that could determine the winner of the Big Five City Series title, because if Villanova, the winner of that game will have a record of 3-1 and will be assured a piece of the title. Then on Tuesday, the Quakers will play Temple. That's Tuesday evening, February 21st. Airtime will be 8:45 on WXPN. Quakers will play Temple, and if the Quakers win that, they'll have a 3-1 record, and they will tie for the City Series title. First weekend of the season, Lance, Quakers travel to Cornell on the scene of last year's debacle on March 3rd for a 8 o'clock tip-off, 7:45 airtime. And then, let's check that. On March 3rd, they're going to be at Columbia for a 8 o'clock tip-off, 7:45 airtime. And on March 4th, they're going to be at Cornell for a 8 o'clock tip-off and a 7:45 airtime. So as we wind down the winter schedule, a lot of exciting action. I should also mention that the women's basketball team with a record of 9-9 will be at the Palestra next Saturday afternoon against City Series rival Villanova.
Okay, Stan, I have a little bit of bad news for any Philadelphia Flyer fans. It seems that the Flyers have made a backdoor exit at the end of the second period intermission, going through the locker room exit, and we will not be able to get any interviews for them. They seem to have all left. So it looks like it'll be me and you, Stan, along maybe with a little bit of help from Steve Frost, bringing you the third period of play. We're about 3 or 4 minutes from intermission. The Quakers lead by a score of 3-0. All the scoring coming in the first period of play. Tom Cullity getting 2 goals. Dave Taylor, 1 goal. Some upcoming games for the Penn hockey team. We have Harvard. Penn will be playing against Dartmouth tomorrow night, and Harvard will be going against Princeton. Now, Harvard has not lost to Princeton in quite a long time. It's been something like 10 years and 20 straight games that Princeton's beaten Harvard. So Harvard is looking for that. Right now, the band goes into their familiar song, Drink a Highball, and the Quaker fans all stand for that. I'm going to quickly run down the scoring in the Ivy League. The leading scorer is Lance Netherly, also the leading scorer in the ACAC. Ivy League scoring, he's got 22 points. Roy Curling, also of Cornell. Dave Ambrosia, Cornell. Brock Treadway of Cornell. They're the top four with 22, 18, 17, and 16 points, respectively. Tom Cullity is number five, and Tom Cullity has been something else. Right now, I guess with his 2 points this evening, Cullity will move up into the number two spot in Ivy League scoring. And perhaps this week he'll make the ECAC honor roll, as it's called. Their name for the All-Star team. This week it was Gary Pryor that made it, along with goalie Bob Sutton. Bob Sutton named the ECAC Player of the Week. And it was quite a week for honors for Penn players. Kevin McDonald named ECAC Basketball Player of the Week. And Bob Sutton getting the hockey honors. And so Quaker fans gaining some individual honors. The Penn basketball team, of course, undefeated in the Ivy League with a 10-0 record before tonight's game. We won't mention the score of tonight's game, so we'll leave it at 10-0. Right now we have some entertainment on the ice, as I see a brick flying around. I don't know what the purpose of this thing is. It's a little entertaining. There's a brick flying off. I'm just waiting to fly off into the board.
Pagano's decided not to sponsor the shootout this year, and so the Penn Plus office has gotten a little bit desperate. They've got an old guy out there spinning a brick around the ice. Oh, well. You never know what you're going to see down at the Class of 23 rink. At least tonight you've seen exciting hockey. Quakers lead it 3-0 with 1 period left to play.
Okay, some more bad news, Sam Lane. Ex-Philadelphia Firebird and Penn Quaker Pete Cahill will not be able to make tonight's game. His services are being asked for at the Friends of Penn Hockey event, so we will not have him either. So it looks like it's just being used, Stan, bringing the third period of play.
We're
having a safe class.
It's becoming
better. I don't know. He looks like he might have made a quick exit also. I think these Quaker fans are getting cocky with the 3-0 lead. Here come the Quakers, and the Harvard team, I'm sure, will be out in just a moment.
Lance, I'll tell you something about that. I came to this game last year with a friend of mine from Harvard who was down covering the women's basketball tournament at the Blackhawks. And we came to this game, and Harvard totally dominated the action for two periods. He got up and left. I sat here to yell, as I usually do when I'm not broadcasting, sometimes even when I'm broadcasting. And Penn came out, scored four goals in the last period and won the game. So I didn't know what happened. We've got 20 minutes of hockey left to be played. That's a lot. You never know what's going to happen.
Thus far this evening, the refereeing, I believe, has been somewhat questionable. The Quakers have gotten five straight penalties called against them, seven in the evening. Harvard's only had four. However, the referee's job has not been easy this evening. There have been failures with the clock. There have been a host of Penn fans yelling at them all night long. They got the regulars down there in the front row in front of the Penn band. They just make a lot of noise, make the job even tougher for the referees. But it has not been good, and I don't think either coach is really happy with the way things have been called this evening.
Well, I don't think that Bob Fink can be too upset with a 3-0 lead, although his young Quakers were put to the test in that second period, in which they played about 12 minutes of the period shorthanded. The button has just gone off, and we'll be ready for the start of the third period in just a minute.
It'll be interesting to see if the Quakers play a little bit more cautious than they have been. They don't want to get any more penalties. Perhaps they will go into the defensive shell. I don't know if that'll be the best strategy. Right now, I'm sure Bob Sutton still has his eyes on a back-to-back shutout, which would be something I would imagine has not been done in a very, very long time for the Quakers. We don't have stats on that. We can look it up perhaps a little bit later. But the Quakers probably should not go into a defensive shell. At this point, they should try to play strong offensive hockey, keep the puck inside Harvard end, and that'll be the best strategy. The Harvard coach really didn't have much to say, I don't think, to his players again in the second period, because they put on the pressure, they did their jobs, things have just not gone that way. Bob Sutton has been too tough. However, if they continue to apply the action and apply the pressure, I think they will start to notice some results. Stan Lane, we're about ready for the opening faceoff in this third period of play. So here's Stan Lane, and here's the action.
Well, what I'm going to try and do, Lance, just for a second, is try and find out the longest consecutive shutout streak for Pennsylvania, as we've got the Ivy League records like that. But anyway, play is underway, and on the play, we've got a whistle as the puck went into the crowd. We'll have a face-off in the neutral zone as the Quakers open up with a lineup of Gary Pryor, Tom Cody, and Dave Akeley. For Harvard, it will be George Hughes, Dean Pilling, and Tom Murray. On the front line, on the back line, Kevin O'Donohue and Franco Scalamadre. On the play, it's played by Scalamadre. Scalamadre sends ahead to George Hughes at center ice, feeds Murray. Murray loses to Graham Carter, and the Quakers send it right back up. Loose at center ice, it's played by Scalamadre. Scalamadre ridden hard into the boards by Akeley. We've got a whistle on the play as one of the Harvard players was ahead of the puck and offside. Space off coming out outside the Quaker blue line.
As I go through this record book here, the Ivy League record book from 1977-1978, there are no goalie statistics in that category for consecutive scoreless periods. Right now, Sutton has six, I believe, and so we'll just have to see how it goes, and we'll try to get any further stats that we might get from our sports information director.
Lance, we might try looking up the team record, defensive record. In that situation, on the play, a puck goes all the way down into the Harvard end and comes to rest on the back of the netting. So we'll face it off to the left side of goalie John Hines. Bill Cleary screaming that it should be brought outside the zone, but they're going to face it off inside the Harvard zone in the face-off circle to the left of John Hines
As we start the third period, the Quakers skating from right to left, defending the goal at the west end of the class of 23 rink. Harvard defending the goal at the east end and skating from left to right. On the draw, Colby loses it to Scalarajo, who carries behind his own net, looks to come up ice for Harvard, feeds ahead to George Hughes. Hughes on wing to Murray. Murray ridden into the boards by Odette, but shoots it in behind the quick net, played by Pryor in the corner. Picked up by Purdy, fires a shot that's a late save by Sutton. And now Scalamadre shoots one in that's wide, played along the far boards by Akery, beats Jack Hughes to the puck. Now Akery will carry out one on three, but Gene Purdy recovers for Harvard and turns it right back the other way ahead to George Hughes. Hughes into the quicker end of the ice, circling to his left, cannot get a good shot off, backs out to the point to his brother Jack Hughes, who carries out of his zone. Harvard will have to set up, otherwise be called for offsides. They do. Pryor swipes at it, it rolls all the way down behind the Harvard net, played there by John Hines, leaves it behind the net for Murray. Murray looks to come up ice. He's bottled up by Dave Taylor. And now the Quakers have it at the blue line. Whitehead shoots it ahead. He's dumped on the play by number 15, Brian Cook. No call. Now it comes behind the net, played by Scalamadre. Loose in front. Taylor tries to wrap. Ball swipes out. It misses the net. And then Whitehead shoots it over the crossbar. Harvard recovers. Great opportunity there for Pennsylvania as Murray looks to carry out. This line has been on all the way so far for Harvard. And now Ball steps across the blue line. But Dave Taylor was ahead of the play and offside. So we'll get a face-off, and Harvard will change up.
Tom White had had Harvard goalie John Hines sprawled on the ice, had the puck on his backhand with a virtually open net, lifted the puck over Hines' body, but unfortunately lifted it over the net. And so Quakers just missing a golden opportunity there to get their fourth goal of the game. Earlier, Tom Cullity almost was able to poke the puck past Jack Hughes, and he would have had a breaker and a chance for the hat trick.
Harvard goes with the D. Benson Cochran line on the points for the Quakers is Strawman and Rosler. Now a puck comes down. This is the quick man played behind the net by Jeff Rosler. Rosler circles along the boards, looks to come out. Rosler on the left side, across the red line. Rosler holds up. Now he finds Ball. Ball takes a long shot in on goal, stick the side easily by Hines. Played there by O'Donohue, cuts behind his own net. Four checking for the Quakers is Whitehead. O'Donohue gets it ahead off the boards to Tom, to Murray. D. D finds Cochran all alone on the breakaway. Cochran goes in and scores. Bobby Sutton fanned on it. Cochran went in on the breakaway and scored. Sutton giving up a bad goal.
That was unbelievable, Stan. Cochran coming in on the breakaway, lost control of the puck as he was back-checked from behind there. Sutton went for a shoulder fake, completely slid out of the goal. The puck just went into an empty net. I don't think anyone touched that puck for the last 30 feet as it just slid along the ice. That goal came at the 2:28 mark of the third period. The goal went to Cochran. We'll wait on the assist. So the Quakers right now are going to have to buckle down. They lead by only two. Harvard most likely will be fired up from that goal.
Here's Benson in again. Gets it out to the point to Traynor. Traynor lines it up. Shot is a save by Sutton. Good leg save. It's loose in the corner. Played by Odette, who was dumped. And they're going to call a tripping penalty on Mark Odette, who was dumped. That was an awful call, Lance. And the Quakers are going to be a man short, and very quickly, the complexion of the game is changing.
This is certainly the time for the Quakers to try to stem the Crimson momentum. Things are not looking good right now, Stan Lane. Bob Sutton just made an unbelievable leg save. I don't even think he saw the puck. He just tipped it wide. It could have been 3-2 right there. The penalty is going against Mark Odette, as you mentioned. That will be 2 minutes. I'm not sure what the call was on that. We'll wait on that also.
The call is for tripping, Lance, and it was an awful call because Odette was pushed by Benson into his man, and the guy fell over him, and they called Odette for a trip. It was a ridiculous call, but the Quakers will be a man short here, and this is where things really get kind of hairy. Quakers have to play tough defense here on the draw. It's played by Rosler behind his own net. Feeds it along the boards, intended for Dutchick, who cannot get it out. Sent right back in by Cochran. Played behind the net by Greg, and he's ridden into the boards by Brian Cook. And they'll tie it up for a faceoff coming up to goalie Sutton's right in the faceoff circle to the left.
Okay, the official scoring on that Harvard goal, their first goal of the game. It was Cochran, assist one to Benson and Day. The time of the goal, 2:28. And just 17 seconds after that, Pennsylvania got a penalty against Mark Odette. That is the sixth consecutive penalty against the Quakers thus far this evening. Things have certainly not been going their way, Stan.
All right, Lance, Cook out on the faceoff for Harvard wins the draw, sends behind the net. It's played there by Whitehead, and Whitehead tips it into the crowd. We'll have a face-off coming up. You've got that scoreless streak by Bobby Sutton.
Okay, it has ended, of course. The scoreless streak, 119 minutes, 51 seconds. So obviously, it was not a six complete periods, but almost six periods of scoreless hockey. Bob Sutton really doing quite a job for the Quakers.
Breaking off the draw, shoots it all the way down the ice. Score checking for the Quakers is Tommy Whitehead. Whitehead looks to take it away, but Cochran recovers. Now Whitehead plays along the near side. It's beaten to the puck by Brian Cook. Whitehead back checking from behind. Ties up Cook. And we've got an offside call. This George Hughes was in the Quaker zone ahead of the play, and offside. Faceoff coming up outside the Quaker blue line. A minute 25 remaining in the man advantage. Quakers lead it 3-1.
Once again, the Crimson rather inept in their power play setup for a unit that's been so talked about. They really haven't shown much tonight, but that could be due to the two-week layoff.
Rosler feeds it ahead for Burke. Burke goes to Whitehead, cuts in one-on-three. Burke, Whitehead holds up, stops. He'll shoot it right back out to center ice, played by Gregan. Quakers killing the penalty. Gregan goes cross-ice to Rosler, back to Gregan off his stick. Johnson's trouble, so he just slaps on it, goes all the way down the ice, stopped at the Harvard blue line by Cochran. Feeds ahead to Cook at center ice, goes cross-ice to Jack Hughes. Hughes back to Cochran. Cochran goes across the blue line as Burke got a stick right across the face, went down, and no infraction was called. Burke put the stick across the bridge of the nose, and he's going to skate it off. Let's see. No call was made. An obvious high-sticking penalty there. And what can you say? Quakers do not get the break on the call, and 53 seconds remaining in the man advantage.
They did get the break on one aspect of it, and that is the referee blew the whistle because he thought Burke was hurt. And Harvard did have an opportunity to score there. And so the faceoff came outside the blue line.
Pretty drops it back to Hughes at the point. Hughes holds up, skates to his right. Now he looks for Cochran on the right side. Instead, feeds Pretty on his left. This shot goes high over the glass and out of play. We'll have a faceoff coming up to the left of goaltender Bobby Sutton. 15:57 remaining in the game. 42 seconds left. There's a Harvard man advantage. Quakers lead it 3-1.
Okay, you're listening to this game on WXPN in Philadelphia and WQHS in Philadelphia, where you can hear Penn basketball right after this hockey game, taped Penn basketball game against Dartmouth.
All right, and that was a very interesting basketball game, and we're not going to tell you what happened, just so you have to listen. On the draw, it's played by Pretty. Pretty gets it back to the point to Cochran. He could not block it. It goes right by him. Pryor racing down ice with Cochran now to go after the loose puck. Pryor is beaten to the puck, and Jack Hughes will carry up ice for Harvard across the red line, across the blue line. Looks to go by Strowman. Strowman rides him into the corner, now dumps him behind the net. It comes out right side to Cook. Cook ridden into the boards by Rosler. Now to Carter, and Carter dumps it down the ice. Quakers doing a great job killing the penalty. 13 seconds remaining in the man advantage as Pretty will start it out of his own end. Goes cross ice to Jack Hughes. Hughes back right side to Pretty. Pretty cuts into the middle. Now he goes down 2-on-2. Right through. A save by Sutton on a shot by Pretty. Stick to side by Sutton. Rebounds left side. The penalty is over. Both teams at even strength as Cody comes on and knocks it away from Hughes. It's loose at center ice, played by Jim Traynor in his own end now for Harvard. Cuts behind his own man. Blocked by Gary Pryor. Quickest forechecking vigorously. It comes up to Bob McDonald. McDonald turned back, takes a shot on his own goalie. It rebounds right side, played by Phil Evans, goes cross ice to Kevin O'Donohue, leading the rush across to Gene Pretty. Pretty holds up as Harvard playing with a mixed line. Pretty's been unable to get off the out. Here, Quickest come right back. Cody looks to go by Traynor as now Pretty will make his way to the bench. It's played by Taylor. Taylor gets it back to Rosler at his own blue line for Pennsylvania. Jeff Rosler backhand pass to Taylor. Taylor left side. Puts the go by Traynor and does. Quickers break in 2-on-1. Kept in at the point by Akery. He dumps it in behind the net. Played there by Cody. Cody backhand to Akery. Shot by Akery. Wide. Rebound Cody. Beats Taylor. Could not get the shot off. Played by Akery on the right side. It comes all the way out to the blue line. Akery is struck. No call. Harvard breaks down 3-on-2. This is McDonald. McDonald looks to go in. He's ridden off the cave by Carter, and the Quakers come right back the other way. Carter across the blue line holds up. Backhand pass to Akery. Akery ridden into the boards by Randy Millen. They tie it up on the near side. Now it pops free, played by Phil Evans. Evans on left wing cannot get it to McDonald. Now McDonald has it. Center ice goes left wing to Evans. Evans shot it, but rough save by Sutton, who holds on. And we're on a faceoff coming up to the right of Bobby Sutton. Great club save by Bob Sutton.
Beautiful arm save by Sutton. Fred Eagles reached out, full extension, made the grab to his right side. Gene Purdy, a few minutes ago, as we've had end-to-end action, broke in right to split the defense, came in on Sutton, beat Sutton, I thought, lifted a shot, it just went far to Sutton's left side, and right there, Harvard had a chance to close within one. Right now, the Quakers hold on to that 3-1 lead.
On the draw, it's controlled by Dudzik, dumps it out to center ice, played by Jack Hughes. Hughes gets it ahead to Steve Andrews. Andrews dumps it into the quicker end, played by John Graykin. Graykin along the boards for Dudzik. He's written into the boards by Brian Cook. The Harvard captain now comes to Garrett. He circles behind the net, looks to get in front to Hughes, but Hughes wasn't there. And Burke comes up with it for Pennsylvania. He gives it to Graykin behind the net. Graykin triple team. Gives it right away to Andrews. Stick save in front by Sutton. And Odette will carry out ahead to Dudzik. Dudzik at the red line. Dudzik will dump it into the Harvard end. Played right corner. Chasing after it. Jim Sonny Liston. Liston ridden into the boards by Weisentanner. Now three players battle for it. It pops three left side to Dudzik. Dudzik looks to center in front instead. Sends behind the net to Burke. Burke out to the right point. So Odette, he winds up. Lets it go. Stick save in front by Hines. And we've got some stick action in front as Weisentanner's stick went into the cage. Liston plays it in front of that, ridden into the boards by Burke. And they'll tie it up for a faceoff. A little bit of pushing and shoving between Jay Weisentanner and goalie John Hines.
At a time span when you might expect the Quakers to go into the defensive shell, they continue to put on the pressure against this Harvard Crimson team. I think your prediction was right. The Harvard team is starting to tire. The Quakers look a bit tired themselves. However, they continue to press, continue to push, spurred on by some 2,000 fans here at the 23 rink.
Ball, Taylor, Whitehead, Rosler, and Strawman on ice for the Quakers as Taylor sends it in behind that. Quakers again without the services of Gordy Hannigan tonight, who's injured. Taylor now controls it on the right side. He's tied up by Murray D. And we're on the faceoff coming up to the right of goalie John Hines.
Might also mention that Norm Kerr is out with knee ligaments, and Mickey Ball is playing. He's playing a pretty good game, even though he did break his nose. You might not think that's an injury that's going to stop a hockey player, but he's got this huge apparatus around his head, and it's the kind of injury which you know you have as you're playing.
The problem with that is that you, with the bars on that cage, you tend to lose the puck down in your feet, and you have a hard time with rebounds in front of the net. On the play, it's carried out by Rick Benson of Harvard, feeds number six, Jim Trainer, who was bumped off the play. Now it comes in front to Cochran, rolls it on goal, and Sutton covers up. Bobby Sutton, the right, as always, covered up. Faceoff coming up to Sutton's left. We've got 12-12 remaining in the game. Quakers lead it 3-1. All their scoring coming in the first period.
Aside from Bob Sutton, if you're going to look towards the defensive player of the game, I'd have to point to Tim Strawman. He has been moving men out of the slot continuously tonight, bumping men out of the play, not really making spectacular plays, but he's been doing the job.
Off the draw, T takes the backhand and it's skipped aside by Sutton, loose behind the net, and Dick will tie it up with Ricky Benson, the freshman center for Harvard. Faceoff coming up to the right of goaltender Bobby Sutton. 12-04 remaining in the game. Quakers lead it 3-1. And what can you say? They're undefeated their last three times out, and this would make three wins and a tie in four outings if they can hang on. On the draw, it's played in front by Odette, comes to Cullity. He'll shoot it out of the zone, played right back the other way by Ricky Benson, and he loses to Cullity. Cullity finds Carter on his right. He loses to Kevin O'Donoghue, brings it down, leaves it for Murray D. Who lost to Mark Odette. He'll skate back the other way, one on two. Odette to the blue line. He will look to split the defense, cannot. Carries in on Hines. And we've got a whistle on the side, and they've got a high-sticking call on Rick Benson, who took a cheap penalty, high-stick Mark Odette from behind. And Harvard could pay for this because they're going to be a man short. Not the position you want to get into, down two goals.
Rick Benson almost went at the referee. He had to be held up back by O'Donoghue. I think he's only going to get 2 minutes. He also might get a misconduct. Let's see. He is mouthing off. Now he's mouthing off at the fans. He is hot-tempered right now, and he's in a bad position to be right now.
The referee looks up at the fans and tells them to shut up, something that you really shouldn't do, because it'll have absolutely no effect. As Ricky Benson is in the box, and he is hot. He is yelling at the fans, and the fans are yelling at him, but the Quakers are in the driver's seat. They lead it 3-1 with 11:36 to go.
and the man advanced for the next 2 minutes. Out on ice for the Quakers, Cullity, Jed Burke, Gary Pryor, Mark Odette, and Jeff Rosler. Harvard now making changes as Bill Cleary sends out Tom Murray, Jim Liston, Jack Hughes, and Gene Purdy. That's it for high sticking at 8:24. Is off the drive, comes out to the point. So Odette sends it. Well, the cheers can speak for themselves as Doug Burke scores for the Quakers after 6 seconds of power play advantage. Burke from Odette. Quakers lead it 4-1.
That was the proverbial picture play goal. Set up just like a textbook diagram might have it. The pass came out in front to Doug Burke. Had an empty net as he was standing right at the doorstep, a la Steve Vickers. Poked it in behind John Hines. The Quakers now open up a 4-1 lead.
Well, before this game, Bill Cleary said we're going to win because we don't lose games that we should win. The way his team has played tonight, they don't deserve to win, and they don't look like they're going to win. I think that Harvard's going to have to eat their words as Tom Murray plays it for Harvard. He loses at the blue line to Cullity, who loses it right back, played by Murray in the quicker end. He cuts it on left wing, rocks from behind by Akru. Now he's ridden into the boards by Carter, who will come out with the puck along the far sideline. He's watched by George Hughes, kicks it ahead to Cullity. Cullity dumps it down into the Harvard end, played behind the net by Hines. He'll leave it for Liston. Liston turns away from Burke. Now Akeley has it on the right side, loses to Liston, who will carry out. Liston feeds ahead on wing to George Hughes. Hughes looks to go by Odette, cannot. As Carter comes up with it, he carries into the corner, tied up by Tom Murray, but it pops free, played by Tom Cullity. Cullity just waits, lets a couple of Harvard players tie him up, and we'll get a whistle and a face-off coming up to the left of goaltender Bobby Sutton.
Okay.
10:45 remaining in the game, Lance. Quakers lead it 4-1.
That goal for Doug Burke, assisted, went to Tom Cullity and Gary Pryor. The time, 8:30, was a power play goal, the second power play goal for the Quakers thus far this evening. For Tom Cullity, his 19th point thus far in the Ivy League this season. That puts him second in Ivy League scoring behind Lance Netherly of Cornell.
You're listening to Quaker Hockey Action on WXPN in Philadelphia, WQHS on the Penn campus. Where after this game, you can hear Penn Quaker basketball as the Quakers take on the Big Green of Dartmouth College. Gary Pryor feeds ahead to Tom Whitehead. Whitehead goes in, watched by Liston, ridden into the corner by Liston. He's held by Liston, and Purdy will carry out, intercepted by Taylor. Whitehead has it in front, loses to Jack Hughes, who will carry out for Harvard. Hughes gets it ahead to James Hughes, his brother. Hughes coming in on right wing, drops back, intended for Purdy, ridden off the play by Dave Taylor. They bump elbows, it goes into the corner, and Tommy Whitehead, rather Mickey Ball, will tie it up with George Hughes. Brought a faceoff coming up to Bob Sutton's right. 10-11 remaining in the game. Quakers lead it 4-1.
The Quakers still looking for more. They lead by three. They're still they're going to try to widen that lead. For Doug Burke, that is his 11th goal of the year. He has 11 assists for a total of 22 points. Keep in mind, he is just a freshman. He will be back for three more years. And along with Jeff Rosler, Dudzik, Akers, and Strawman, and right on down the line, the Quakers are going to be a strong club next year with a lot of experience.
All right, the leading Quaker senior in scoring as a forward is Mickey Ball, and he's, 10th or 11th on the list. Played behind the net by Graham Carter. Carter looks to come out, dumps it at center ice. It rolls all the way past the Harvard defender, to roll all the way down into the Harvard end, and we'll get a whistle for icing. Bring it back down into the Quaker.